Ladies, Chodesh Halal this year, Wednesday afternoon, Yichud Hamaisa, Shara Yichud Hamaisa, February 22nd, for lack of a better way of identification. I won't be here next Wednesday. The following Wednesday, I hope to be here. I hope to be landing on next Wednesday. But I'm landing on the Wednesday that I'm missing the class. But I can't move back the clock enough to get here. I can't get here before I land. Only Hashem is above time. Okay, so we're learning Chovetz Halvavos, Shar Yichud Hamaisa, and Perek Dalet is a rather short perek, but it has a lot in it. And Perek Dalet, very briefly, Perek Dalet talks about three main obstacles or three main things that you have to overcome that won't let you reach the level of Yichud Hamaisa. And it really is like saying you have to have learned the Sefer up till now. That's essentially what he says. Because number one is not understanding Hashem and not understanding what he's all about and not having what do you mean to know Hashem? Hashem is unknowable. Yes, that's true. But what are we told to do? We study Darkei Hashem. We study how Hashem works. We study what Hashem does. Halachta bidracha means we have to follow in the ways of Hashem. So we study the ways of Hashem, and we see what we know as midos tovos. And again, they are midos tovos. Hashem made a world. We say, oh, these things are logical. These things are humanistic. These things are just because I want to be a good person. But that's all, as you say, that's Hashem's making. Hashem made a world in which indeed midos tov, we have a natural instinct of goodness, most people do, a natural instinct to do good, to be good. We recognize good and bad sort of instinctively, and that maybe that's our flavor of Adam HaRishon Kodem HaChet. You know, that really, really, really is. If we have a natural instinct that lying is bad, and stealing is bad, and murder is bad, so it's an Nisayon to do it because it's Hashem's will, and at the same time it's supposed to mold and shape the person keeping it. The Rambam speaks about this in Shmona Prakim, how the two go in tandem. Indeed, it's supposed to have both effects, and indeed you're supposed to toggle between both ideas. Where I'm doing it because it's Hashem's will, but Hashem wants the mitzvah to shape and form me and make me a better person and make me a more moral person, a more kind person, a person that's fair, a person that wants justice done, a person that's not a liar, a person that's honest and pays back people when they do him good, a person that's makir tov. But Hashem wired a person that speaks to the human part of a person. So, but we, right now, we're talking about a different angle. The angle is that when we do this, when we study this, when we say, Mahu rachum, afato rachum, mahu chanun, afato chanun, just as Hashem, we study the Darkei Hashem, and we study, and that's how we know Him. And you have this language in many psukim to know Hashem and serve Him. David HaMelech tells Shlomo in Divrei HaYomim, the pasuk's quoted, know Hashem and serve Him. We talk about Umol HaOretz Deos Hashem, knowledge of Hashem, V'yadat Es Hashem, is a pasuk that men say when they put on the tefillin. It says, V'yastichli V'yolom, V'yastichli B'sedek V'mishpat, V'chesed V'rachamim, V'yastichli B'amun V'yadat Es Hashem. What it means to us is to know Darkei Hashem, or we see Hashem punishing evildoers, we see Hashem Zerach HaPayim, and we say, hey, and etc., etc. Probably, I told you last week, I think, I'm pretty sure, the Toma Dvora, the famous Sefer that was written on the Yud Gimel Midos of Hashem, 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 Kel Vechum V'Chanun, and you learn it, and he tells you how to extrapolate it to your own life. So that's part, but again, that's not, that's to learn from it, but that's how we know Hashem. And the one with, there was just Nifta, with the optometry chain of stores, Alprin, Rafael Alprin, he actually wrote a sefer called Darkei Hashem. A sefer called Darkei Hashem. And it's full of chazals, and you read it, and you know, and you form a picture. What do we form a picture of? Of a kind, of a meitiv. Really, that is probably the, of a meitiv. We also say, mahu kadosh, afato kadosh, that Hashem does not want us to be too connected to physicality. I say too connected because he obviously wants us to be connected to some degree because that's how he made us, and we have to eat and we have to drink and we have to do a lot of other things that are very, very physical. But we do say mahu kadosh hafato kadosh, which means this is not what it's all about, this is not what my purpose is. Not to be hedonistic, not to have that as a value, to enjoy oneself and to have pleasure, right? So we learn that from Hashem. Hashem doesn't get anything, Hashem doesn't gain anything. Okay, that's number one. So the why he's presenting it as an obstacle to Yichud HaMaaseh, because if it's really I would venture to say we don't think this way. If you don't have a knowledge of Hashem, if Hashem is just a word, like it's just a word to a two-year-old, say thank you to Hashem, Hashem, it's just a word, which it is to most people, from people, yeshivish people, not yeshivish people, it's a word. Never thought about him as being a real, it's okay, he has a female side too, I'm getting into trouble here, it's called the Shechina. Right, obviously Hashem has, there's male things and female things there. We say, the Shechina is spoken about in Lashon Nekeva. And the Zohar is replete with the Dechar V'Nukva side of Hashem. It's just words really, because these are things Hashem created. We call them Zohar and Nekeva because Hashem assigned different roles, whether it's nurturing or being inherently an Ezer. So we talk about being the Zohar, but you see, Hashem created man as one, Zohar and Nekeva Brahm. So Hashem created man to be godlike in that he contains within himself, and I'm using the Zohar just as we use the Zohar by Hashem, all of these angles. I think a male has an X and a Y chromosome, right? So that's, you have it right there, that the man has Zohar and a Keva in him. And that's how man was created. And then Hashem split them up. We're still trying to figure out why. That was a joke. And then the Shatran's supposed to bring them back together. Really, that's really what's happening. He's bringing back together what Hashem ripped apart when he created Chava from Adam, and then the Shatchan is doing Hashem's work and putting them back together. And they're supposed to function. Okay, let's not get into that now. It's not the time to talk about it. This is really, I mean, what it's supposed to be is heavy stuff. So that's the first obstacle, is that if you don't have an idea of Hashem, you can't serve him really. You're serving something. You're serving. It's not possible. You're either doing it for a reward, or you're doing it to impress other people, or you're doing it to get ahead in the world. But you can't do it for a word that means nothing to you. You can't. It's not possible. It's like the child. So the child's doing it because the mother told him to, or because the father told him to. But it doesn't mean anything to the child. And if it doesn't mean anything to us, and this is something really that. This is why he wrote the Sefer Chavos HaLevavos. because he looked around and he saw what we see today pretty much. He saw people being very frum. He writes this in the Hakdama, I'm not making this up. He saw people being very, in the Hakdama to the Sefer. So people being very frum and learning a lot and studying a lot, but not connected to Hashem. Like you go through a whole Purim. Purim already. Purim is like women like have just want the day to be over already. Right? But it's really supposed to be, everybody knows it's supposed to be a very uplifting day. But like how many people mention the name of Hashem? Like the whole Purim. And we're thanking Hashem and Hashem saved us. And we're supposed to relate to Hashem a certain way. I'm not even talking about with the drunkenness and you're drunk, not drunk. It's just the Megillah did a very fine job not saying Hashem's name. Did a very good job. But it really is supposed to be a day of getting closer to Hashem, of thanking Hashem, of praising Hashem. The Gemara talks about why don't we say Hallel on Purim and gives three answers, and each answer is like a whole understanding, a whole philosophy, the three answers of the Gemara, why we don't say Hallel on Purim. But Purim, and one of the answers is that Purim is Hallel. Reading the Megillah is Hallel. That's Hallel. Okay. If it's a very important point. If you don't have an idea or any concept of Hashem, you can't do things for His sake. So that's obstacle one. Obstacle two is that you don't have any knowledge of the details. That's already like the other extreme, where you say, I'm going to go meditate on a mountaintop in Tibet or India or wherever they go, and that's it. And Hashem, the devil's in the details, right? You can't do things lishma if you don't know what to do. If you think you're going to serve Hashem by weird actions, or no matter how tightly you screw your eyes up and scrunch your nose, you're not doing anything, so Hashem doesn't care. That's the first thing that the head of Christianity did. He took away the mitzvahs. I mean, not the first thing, but maybe Paul did it. The Iker is he took away the mitzvahs. I said, just believe. And okay, then he said, believe in me. That's already became a whole different religion. Okay, so the second obstacle is if you don't know what to do. And that's as important as the first. I don't know, as important. We're not giving ratings here. But it's also obstacle number two. Obstacle number two is that you don't know what to do. So you're flailing, and you're not getting to the point. Because and we learned in Shaar Avodas Elokim. Shaar Avodas Elokim is a very important shaar to learn. Shaar Avodas Elokim really gives... Shaar Avodas Elokim really discusses Shaar Avodas Elokim discusses how a person strikes a balance between the lev, chomos halvavos, which is the primary and the essential and the main, it's the main, without neglecting what is essential, and that's the pu'ulos. And Shaar Avodas Elokim gives you reasons why the pu'ulos are there, but why you can't rely on the pu'ulos to serve Hashem, and it really teaches you how to strike the balance. Ultimately, you've reached the apex of Avodas Hashem if you find fulfillment of the lev within the Maisa Mitzvahs. That's the highest madrega you could reach. If a person like finds the ultimate intensity of feeling of gratitude when they say the Haggadah Pesach night, or when they bench. So if you are able to channel it the way Hashem wanted it channeled, when Hashem wrote the Torah, right, it wasn't Mifchan Amerikai, that he had a couple of choices and he chose A, B, or C. He chose the perfect, we believe that he chose the perfect vehicle that contains the lathe, and it contains it in the best way. And to us it maybe seems like petty details, and what do we care, this prat and that prat, and maybe we don't think about it, or maybe you just call up the rav and say, what do I do, and then, but really, the mind is looking at it as petty details, but really, and this is remarkable, I mean, very few people reach this madrega. I don't know if anybody did. I mean, I would like a sefer to be written once. I mean, it would be endless. How the prat, we have to firmly believe that every prat, detail of every mitzvah contains within it a way to express the lev, and that's why it's there. Hashem didn't just shooting blanks, shooting darts in the dark, hoping it hits. Everything is there with a cheshbon. The chinuch a little, Rav Shlomo Shneifel Hirsch talks about it a little more. Others who write about the mitzvahs sometimes get to the level of explaining this, but it's certainly true. So, but that's not necessarily what the Chavis HaLovis means here. Here he just has to mean you can't serve Hashem without knowing what to do, what he wants you to do. Number three is the good old Yetzirah, or the bad old Yetzirah. Here are how he says the primary function of the Yetzirah is to, we're not even learning the text now because I'm really reviewing, is to make a person think that Olam Hazeh has ultimate value and Olam Haba has some dream and some idea and some will-o'-the-wisp concept, but the real world is this world. Okay, now he goes back and starts explaining each one. Number one is not understanding Hashem, and therefore he's doing it for an ulterior motive. It just has to be that way. And now he then says that that's what an Oved Avodah Zarah is doing wrong. An Oved Avodah Zarah doesn't understand the nature of Hashem. We're not talking the early Oved Avodah Zarahs, even the later ones, they didn't have a good idea of what Hashem is. They didn't have a healthy idea. They weren't taught. And they ended up making the mistake that Hashem is disconnected from this world and he uses these powers as stand-ins for him. Because he doesn't get down into the trenches with people, so to speak. Then the Chavis HaLovis makes a turn and he says a remarkable thing that you have to have a lot of guts to say. And that is, he says that, in fact, I want to tell you, he says, that the Oved Avodah Zarah is closer to what I'm talking about in this shar. He's closer than what he calls the choneth, the person that does things for ulterior motives. So, everybody who learns this says, okay, so if I had a choice, and I could do Avodah Zarah, or I could do things for ulterior motives. Okay, I think I'm going to do like this. I'm going to do Avodah Zarah. That's childish, because he's not talking about someone that makes a conscious decision to be Oved Avodah Zarah, and they understand there's a Hashem. And we're not talking about that. We're talking about someone someone that grew up in Africa, and he doesn't know from anything. He knows from voodoo dolls, and he knows from idols. His point is, again, he's talking about the lathe. And he's saying the chonef, the person that looks from, but is a corrupt person and is serving himself or herself, is self-serving, and is full of perhaps gaiva and taiva and other midos roles, and is doing it for the sake of getting ahead, is a much more dangerous individual. A much more corrupt individual, a much more immoral individual than the Oved Avodah Zarah. That's his point. Echad Mehem, and he gives four reasons. Number one is that the Obed Avodah Zarah, we learned this last week, the first two, that the Obed Avodah Zarah probably doesn't have an education. We're not talking about someone that went off the derech and became an Obed Avodah Zarah. It's talking about the objective act of being Obed Avodah Zarah, and the lave that's contained within it could be far superior and closer. You take this person, and it's easier to change this person. That would be, right? You teach them and you educate them, but their heart's in the right place, you know. Why? So he says four reasons. First of all, the Obed Avodah Zarah is sincere. He's talking about a sincere Obed Avodah Zarah. He's not talking about the insincere ones. He's talking about, because he's comparing the act of doing Avodah Zarah with the hypocrisy of someone who's not serving Hashem in his lave, but just gives the appearance of serving Hashem. So first of all, the Obed Avodah Zarah does not know any better. That's who he's talking about. He hasn't been exposed, maybe grew up in Africa, but the Machnif, we're talking about someone who's from, someone who's learned, someone who went to school. So they know this is a mitzvah, this is an Aveira. But again, that so they think they're being from, and really they're missing the point of it all, and their actions are mostly self-serving, not serving Hashem, so that they're in a worse place. Number two was that the Obed Avodah Zarah, well, let's say at least he's worshiping something maybe even beautiful. People worship the sun, worship the moon. You're worshiping a force of nature, let's say, or a force of nature. That's what they worshipped. I mean, they worshipped forces of nature. They didn't know forces of nature as the law of gravity. They saw a force of nature as the god of things falling down, or the god of fertility, or the god of agriculture, or the god that. But if we were translate Avodah Zarah, if we fast forward a couple of centuries, it's the equivalent only of saying that I'm worshiping the forces of nature, which and so we don't bow down to the forces of nature, and we laugh at if someone would bow down to the law of gravity, but we do worship it because we assign it all too often independent power, and we look at it as something that's there, and time is there, and gravity is there, and physics is there, and it just is that way, you know. So that's it's not worship, but it's Avodah Zarah, and so he's saying, at least you're worshiping something pure, something good, something beautiful, something wholesome. The Choneif is worshiping people. Avol Machnif B'Torah Su Elokim. So he's worshiping Avlamachna B'Torah Elokim. Obed, who is he worshiping? He's worshiping a person that's full of lust, and a person that's is as corrupt as he is, and everybody's trying to get ahead of the other guy, and everybody wants social upward mobility, and you're not dealing with wholesome ideas, usually, almost always. When you're dealing with someone that's lacking in Shaar Yichud, Yichud HaMaisa, you're not dealing with wholesomeness. You're dealing with a hidden agenda. You know, gravity is something much more clear and pleasing and beautiful and worthwhile and wholesome. That's number two. Number one was that the Obed Avodah Zarah is sincere because he doesn't know better, and the Machlev is doing mitzvahs and should just take the effort and time to learn and do it the way it's supposed to be done. Number two is the Obed Avodah Zarah is at least worshiping something wholesome, while the Choneif is worshiping people when you come right down to it, and that's not a wholesome experience usually. People do the things they do for reasons that they do them. Vashlishi, number three, and this is actually where we're up to today. Ki Obed Kachavim Ho Obed Dover Echod Belevad. The hachonef ain't tachlis l'ne'evodav. The chonef, because he worships people, there's another downside to it, and that's he's a people pleaser. And when he's with this person, he acts a certain way, and he's with that person, he acts a certain way, and he's with a third person, he'll act a certain way, because he wants to squeeze out the benefit of these different relationships with different people. And he has a lot of relationships, there's a lot of people, and he ends up with no self-image. He doesn't know who he is. If you'd ask him who he is, he wouldn't know. He acts like a different person when he's with different people, because he's manipulating everyone. So here he's acting like a cool person, and here he's acting like a firm person. And he was acting like a deep person, and he was acting like a shallow person that knows how to have a good time, and so on and so forth. We all know people like that. So that's bad. That's not good. Ovid Avodah Zarah is achid, at least. Consistency. Because he's worshipping one God, and so he's making a mistake. Yes, the Ovid Avodah Zarah that has 50 gods, so he's going, we don't know if they worship them with different attitudes and different ways of behavior. So in the Chanami would have the same chisaron. For Haravi'i, number four, you have to be very brave to say this. Number four is that the Ovid Avodah Zarah is at least out in the open. You know what you're dealing with. You know where he's at. You know what he does, what he doesn't do. It's not hidden, so you could be careful, you could stay away. Keep your distance from an Ovid Avodah Zarah. V'horavi, ki Ovid kochavim einen yonu nistar mibnei yadam, v'heim nishmorim imenu, they can keep away from him. But they pirsum kafrunuso belukim, it's well known, he's a koifer. You stay away from him. Ah, aval achonef, but the person standing next to you in the supermarket, or a friend, or someone, so en kafrenusu nireis, he's really no bigger a believer in Hashem than Ovid Avodah Zarah, possibly, because if he believed in Hashem, he wouldn't resort to his chanifus. Uvneyadam botchimbo, and what's worse is gullible people, or even not gullible people, trust in him and have faith in him, and there's some stories, we know stories. And then they're mitachzei very quickly, because they see he's been using them. So the people didn't know to stay away from him, because he looked from, and he did all the outward things, all the chitzoni things, so he looked from, so people were attracted to him. V'yitochel olazikom, and now he has set them up in a way that he can harm them, if he so chooses. Mashalo yitochel luzuloso, again, because you know to watch yourself from him. Who a godol shebemadve haolam? Yeah, this is the worst illness that there is in the world. Venikra, this hypocrite, this phony, faker. Venikra b'loshoneinu chonef. That's the word we use. Chanufa, someone who is currying favor, but has no. Pnimius has no sense of self, is just doing things in a manipulative way. The yohir, umafate, different words are used. Okay, so that's period. Now he finished number one, because in number one he said the first huge obstacle is not knowing Hashem. And then he talked about that, and then he said, and the Ovid Avodah Zarah has that problem, that he doesn't know Hashem, so he had to turn to Avodah, he didn't have to, obviously, but he turned to Avodah Zarah because that satisfied his emotional or intellectual or theological need, because he didn't learn, he doesn't know what Yiddishkeit had to offer, or he didn't know where to turn, so, and then he says, okay, and you know what? He's better off than the Chonef. Right, that's the flow of the Shita Mukub, of the Chavis Halvavus. And now he's up to the second obstacle. Achmisha Eino Mei, right, so there should be a big period there. Achmisha Eino Mei, or maybe even a colon, who knows. Achmisha eino meivin mitzvos, or maybe even a new paragraph. Achmisha eino meivin mitzvos ha'alokim v'toros, of someone who doesn't know what to do. Ein ma'aseyo miyuchad l'shem ha'kel ba'avodoso, shekivin she'eino meivin ofanei ha'avoda she'eim ha'toros, if he doesn't know what he's supposed to be doing, or why he's supposed to be doing it on a basic level, shekivin she'eino meivin ofanei ha'avoda she'eim ha'toros, kol shekein shelo yovin ofanei ha'shlomosom, how to make those actions whole and complete and uplifting and inspiring, b'yichud levavo behem le'elokim, when he's doing it as a conduit between himself and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he doesn't even know he's supposed to be doing it. V'chol mashu osu mimaseh ha'avoda, so anything he does without learning, without an appreciation, he does it by rote, he does it by mimicking other people, he does it by just going along. Kavnosu b'luzulosu elokim, he's not thinking about Hashem, he doesn't even know if he's supposed to be doing this because he doesn't know the halachas. You can't focus and mean to serve Hashem with something that you're not even sure you're supposed to be doing it. And he doesn't know, like, what's wrong? Where did I go wrong? How come I'm so uninspired by Judaism? You're uninspired by Judaism because you never learned anything. So what you're doing is mimicking others. So of course you're uninspired. Anybody would be uninspired. You want to be inspired, you go learn. Go learn about the mitzvahs, go learn what they represent, go learn what they stand for, learn the lessons they're supposed to be teaching you, learn about Hashem, learn how you're supposed to, learn Chodesh Havodos maybe, where you'll learn that everything you do is an expression of gratitude, and that puts a whole different spin on your life, right? And that happens to be the Chovis Halavos is very, very unique mahalach in life. It's unique. I mean, that's the Chovis Halavos, that everything is gratitude. Something, pick Masilas Yashar. I want to get to Ruach HaKodesh. I'm going to trajectory to Ruach HaKodesh and Tchias HaMesim. Fine. So learn Masilas Yashar. But learn. Study. Think, learn Hirsch, learn Chorev, learn the Sfarim that talk about these things. But otherwise, anything you do is I don't know what you're thinking about, but you ain't thinking about Hashem. So how can we demand of you, or ask of you, or recommend to you Yichud Hamaisa? If he's not sure he's supposed to be doing it, and then he's like, well. Like, you know, I wonder why it's not working, you know. Person does a mitzvah, while he does a mitzvah, they're on the phone, or they're thinking about the deposit they have to make, and they're, I don't know, doing dishes, nursing a baby, I don't get into trouble. Yeah. They do other things, right, as they do a mitzvah, they're busy with other things, they don't stop and do the mitzvah, and then they wonder, how come I was not inspired doing a mitzvah? You know why? Because you never focus on it, you never concentrate on it, you had no idea what you were doing, you were not, it was Hesach Hadas, you were doing it, you know, just, you gave Hashem like a tenth of the corner of your mind. But if you do know, maybe the parenthesis should be the before Imhu Yodeya. So he ends up saying, Kamo Shomer Hussein, Zechonam Lebrachim, Bur Yirei Chayt, Zalai Amaretz Chassid. Now we know what that means. It means if you don't know what you're supposed to be doing, you can't aspire to having it work for you. You don't know what should work for you. Now comes number three. Avol hirur ha'yetzer. Now, of course, the Yetzara, because if the Yetzara turns you away from Hashem, then obviously you can't develop Yichud HaMaisa. You can't develop Yichud HaMaisa if you don't know Hashem. You can't develop Yichud HaMaisa if you don't know the dinim and understand the dinim. And number three, you can't develop Yichud HaMa'aseh if you are under the sway of your Yetzirah. Avol hira Yetzirah v'hasoso in his fooling l'odom b'meshiyatzis Yehudo es Yichud v'avo v'hasoso l'elokim v'mu yodeya so elokim v'toroso And even if you've been through the first two challenges, but the Yetzirah can get you by the third. The first being to know Hashem, and the second one is to know Toroso. But now the Yetzirah could step in. Right? It's like you did what you're supposed to do, but now you have to worry about the Yetzirah. And I can't help it. That's how Hashem made this world. It's hard enough to get to where you're supposed to be and figure that out. But don't worry, Hashem is fear. And even if Hashem gave us an obstacle course, but it's an obstacle course that we can do. So it's just hard, and people are lazy, or people don't have Yichud HaMa'aseh, so they look at other people, and they say, well, he's not doing it, why should I do it? I don't have to be better than them. What am I going to do? So... Anyway, the Yetzirah gets you two ways, right? Always making lists, the Chayim Sofer is always making lists. Echad Mehem, this is very important, this is almost like Hanukkah and Purim. One of them is to make you not, this is, the fifth parak talks about the Yetzirah, the fifth parak of Shaar Yichud HaMa'aseh is maybe, perhaps, the greatest study of the wiles of the Yetzirah. And the Yetzirah is you, he's going to say in Parak Hey. We're not talking about like a devil with horns and a tail and a pitchfork. We're talking about you, your desires, your thoughts. That's the Yetzirah. No, that's going to be Parak Hey. It's going to mamish dissect and give 20, 30 examples of how the Yetzirah tries to ensnare you. Here he's just saying, but there are cloud, the Yetzirah will do one of things, two things. He'll make you think that what you think is so isn't so. And who said this is so important? And who said I have to do this? And why do I have to do this? And maybe once a month you say, is there really a Hashem? And he cares about me, and he's looking at me, and he cares about what I do, and he cares about what's going on. Oh yeah, of course. But you know, he's in there. And then maybe he throws in that idea. He's very, very clever, the Yetzirah. But Chavis Alvavus, Baruch Hashem, Chavis Alvavus, the next Perek, who's cleverer than the Yetzirah. So he exposes all of his tactics. It's like you found the enemy's game book before a big football game. You found their game book, so you know what their game plan is. You found the teacher's test before the final, right? That's what he does in the fifth parak. It doesn't help, unfortunately. because the Yetzirah always, we'll see in the fifth parak. Yetzirah always makes you think it's not the Yetzirah, it's you. That's not the Yetzirah, that's me, that's my seichel. I figure that, I figure this. Yeah, but maybe, I think that's Yetzirah talking. No, Yetzirah is me. I'm not the Yetzirah. He says, you are. Anyway, first of all, he sows doubt, in an intellectual way, that maybe the things you've learned and the things you were makabel from your Abayim and the things you figured out yourself, maybe they're not so. And he does it very subtly, and that's what we'll elaborate upon in the next parak. But that's number one. Echad mei machshavos mesapkos olav amitius. That make you think that the truth is not really the truth. Okay. All these people are wrong and I'm right, and there's so many more not from Jews even than from Jews. And could it be? Who am I? So he makes you doubt the truth of reality. Umishaps is all of the emunah, so and he ruins your emunah. Because you start thinking things you shouldn't think. Actually, you should know my silukim, and then it's all downhill. It's all downhill. People say, they even made a religion out of it. They made a religion out of lack of Yichud HaMaisa. I don't want to honor them by saying the name they call it. But they do the mitzvahs and they go through the motions, but they don't really believe in Hashem. Which is like anti-Shar Yichud HaMaisa. It's like the mirror image. The black hole of Shar Yichud HaMaisa. Somewhere there's a Chayvus Halvavos that talks about lack of Yichud HaMaisa. Right? So they convince themselves that that's B'chelek HaSheni. So number one is he makes you think, and maybe in some places they wouldn't even learn this, because if I say these words, Malinowitz even said that maybe it's not right. But the Chavetz Chaim, and really the Chavetz Chaim does the same thing in Shemiras HaLoshon, and traditionally, despite what people say, people don't know. Chazal and Gedolim, who wrote Svarim, always discussed all issues and put everything out on the table. And never said, let's not talk about this because it's too dangerous. Never said that. Chavetz Chaim would not have written what he's writing, and certainly wouldn't have written what he writes in the fifth parak if he held like that. He writes, and I wouldn't be talking like this, if saying, oh, the Torah is going to tell you, maybe the whole thing is not really... And then I'm going to be responsible if you think that way. Right? But that's why the truth is the truth, and if you know... Hashem has faith in us, that we have clear minds and we're willing to see the truth. If we're swayed by Olam Hazeh, then it's a problem. Then we failed in the Sion. But it's not a reason not to put all the cards on the table. V'chelek ha'sheni, shuboimo b'derech ha'tayna v'haraya, ki ma shehu rotze lo v'u mishtadl bo min ha'mais elokim, ein ha'chovo v'lo miderech ha'zrizus, Elamora also lasses lolam hazeh liyoshov. This, and now we're finished. The second thing is, he doesn't come to you with a philosophical thought. He comes to you, you got to be with it. You can't be a schlump. You can't be a schlumazel. You have to know what's going on in the world. And you have to be a man of this world. And, you don't want to be a bench fetcher. And you don't want to be out of it. And you don't want to be holier than thou. And he gets the person mired in Olam Hazeh. And all of a sudden he's pursuing more and more money and a bigger and bigger and bigger house and more toys, adult toys, and more things. And so the first way is a philosophical, intellectual conversation. Who said, right, where he twists with his finger, he's very good, he's big Lamdan. And the second way of the Yetzer Hara is to say that, you're not in the real world, you're not living, you're missing out on life. And maybe he'll even say, oh, Hashem made the world, and you have to get into the world, and that's the real world. Look, that's the real world, but you're sitting in front of her. You're missing out. And there's styles, and there's all sorts of pleasures in the world. And he'll even tell him, oh, if Shamshon Fall Hirsch with the Alps. Like, everyone knows that story. No one knows, a piece of chumash. Everybody knows that story. Anyway, so we'll stop here, and then we'll continue with Perek Hey, where he really, really gets into the playbook. He stole the playbook of the Yetzer Hara. Yeah.